With our Bibles open to Genesis chapter number 49, would just stand together with me, please. And as we do, I want to thank you, preacher, once again for the honor of standing behind this sacred desk. Thank you, sir. In Genesis chapter number 49, as the sons of Jacob gathered about him, their father, he spoke words of blessing upon each. This he said to one in particular. In verse 22, the Bible says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Would you pray that God would manifest not only that portrait from Scripture before your eyes tonight, but inscribe its truth upon your very heart? Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Father, thank you for the privilege that has been ours today, not only in enjoying one another's fellowship, but to open your word and to hear from heaven. We ask, Lord, that once again you would speak to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this great church. We know this church has stood as tall as she has because of the foundation on which she stands. We pray, Father, that you would increase her vision all the more, that the days before her would even exceed the great triumphs of the past. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Scriptures speak of Joseph in this portrait being a fruitful bough whose branches overhang the wall. As I view in my eye the scene before me, I know that there is a wall that stands high. There is a vine, yea, a tree, who stretches forth the branches beyond the heights of the wall. It seems that there must be a path on yonder side of the wall because someone, perhaps a wayfaring stranger, he walks that path. The branches hanging beyond the wall provide him refreshment along the way. Someone notices the branch that overhangs the wall. I surmise that there must be such a path, and perhaps many a pilgrim tasted the fruit from the branches. I know that on the other side of the wall, though the pilgrim cannot see it with his eye, there is a well. The Bible tells us so. The Scriptures say that Joseph is a fruitful bough whose branches hang over the wall. He's a fruitful bough beside a well. In the interpretation of Scripture, we are literalist. We look for that literal truth which God would speak to us, having appreciation for the picturesque and the poetic imagery. In the very canvas, we seek the literal truth that God speaks. So looking into the life of Joseph, looking to see those literal truths that are pictured before us on the page of Holy Writ, I remember his stern opposition. The Bible says that Joseph, he is a fruitful bough whose branches hang over the wall. Many a vine has emerged within the tender soil of a garden, and stretching forth along the ground has found himself suddenly opposed by that obstacle before him. Not able to overcome the barrier, the vine goes no further. But there has been that moment, and oftentimes has been the case, when the vine, making its way across the ground and coming to a wall, only uses the wall to grow higher than what the vine could have on its own. I look at Joseph's life, that fruitful bough beside a well whose branch hangs over the wall, and I think of the stern opposition. After all, it was his brothers who, because their father loved him, and because, all the more, because of his dream, the Bible says, they hated him. It was his brothers who cast him into a pit, who sold him into slavery, and dipped his very garments in the blood of an animal and displayed them before the eyes of a broken-hearted father and said, "Do these not belong to your son?" It was Joseph who found himself in a prison, perhaps even thinking for a moment, "This isn't how I thought my dream went." Soon, the victim of that woman's lies, Potiphar's wife, and so cast into the prison. But my friend, the prison wall, all of the opposition, it only became in his life, as it were, that wall by which God exalted him. It's a fruitful bough whose branch hangs over the wall. How oftentimes a vine, a tree, how oftentimes has climbed the wall, using it instead of being the obstacle, it has become the ladder. In India, there are orchids to be found growing in great heights at great altitudes. But they live at such altitudes because they thrive in the branches of the trees, at altitudes to which they could never rise by the frailty of their own stems. May I say to you, dear friend, that it was in the very moments of opposition and difficulty that God smiled upon that man's life, and from the very shadows of the prison, God lifted him. He is the fruitful bough whose branch it hangs over the wall. How oftentimes the wall has become a ladder. How oftentimes has it become a lattice? Perhaps you have seen, as have I, that vine growing in the wild, the honeysuckle, so sweet in its fragrance, and even sweeter in its taste. I remember as a little boy down south learning how to pull the stem from the back of the flower and tasting of the nectar. How oftentimes have I seen the honeysuckle growing upon the fence until at last the very wall upon which it grew, it became, as it were, a terraced garden of sweetest fragrance. I look in the life of Joseph and I see the stern opposition, but as high as the wall stood, my friend, the branch, it only ascended higher. And the vine that would cross the heights of the wall, the branch that would overshadow the wall, remind us, dear friend, that the heights belong to the saints. It may be that the wall of opposition stands tall in your life, and I pray that God would make you a fruitful bough whose branches overhang the wall. By the wall of opposition, you would be reminded that the heights, my friend, belong to the saints. Like you, I have stood in the shadow of said wall, but I've seen God give victory, and I've been reminded that the heights belong to the saints. I think of that time in Delaware when I was pastoring and we had wrestled with the city over the right to have a radio station on our property. We've been approved by the FCC, but through one hearing after another, after another, after another, after another. In fact, when we applied, the city said, the answer is no. You need not even apply. The answer is no. I sent the gentleman back that was representing us and spearheading the project, and I told him, it's our understanding that it's our right to apply, and they have to officially say no. They said, if you want to pay hundreds of dollars to hear us say no, fine. We said, that's what we want to do. They said, fine. And we said, you'll hear from our lawyer next week. Oh, a year passed by, one battle after another. I remember one day, they had said untruths. Men had been underhanded in their strategies. And I walked out of the hearing with the attorney at my side. The attorney who was frustrated and aggravated, he was upset and he looked at me and he said, what are you grinning about? He said, didn't you hear what they said in there? What are you smiling about? I said, I'm smiling because my Father still sits on heaven's throne and there's nothing they can do about it. Amen. My friend, the heights belong to the saints. By the way, there's a radio station in Dover, Delaware that's now broadcasting 24 hours a day. I'd just like to testify. I remember when over in India, we were holding the Crusades and they passed the anti-conversion laws, laws that said the person who converted from Hinduism could face a 5-year prison sentence as well as the person who was responsible for them doing the converting. And I remembered how that God reminded us of His sovereignty when in one of the meetings, a Hindu assassin, a man paid by Hindus to kill Christians, walked the aisle, received Christ as his Savior. And I was reminded again that the heights belong to the saints. My friend, I know that the wall stands high. I didn't know when I went to Dover, Delaware, that I'd be dealing with the witches. Nobody told me that. When I sat down with the pulpit committee, they didn't look at me and say, by the way, preacher, we got a lot of witches in town. All I knew is suddenly I was informed that we had a pagan pride day in Dover, Delaware. I told my people, I said, well, if they're going, we're going. And on pagan pride day, as the witches assembled, we went. We didn't go with bullhorns, didn't need the signs. We went with gospel tracts. That's enough to make a witch mad. And somebody said to me, well, you're just an oppositionist. I said, I'm an opportunist. I said, can you ever think of a day when I'd have more opportunity to speak to this many witches at one time? I remember the first time we went out there and so many witches and those associated. And the next year, we weren't the only church. By the way, when we stepped on the property, there was more of us than there was of them. And so we just went ahead and knelt down right there in the midst before we left, and we had us a prayer meeting. You should have seen the looks on the witches' faces when we got up off our knees. My friend, the heights belong to the saints. And however high the wall may seem to stand in this day or any coming day, might we be, as it were, that vine that only uses the wall to climb all the higher by God's grace. I look at the life of Joseph and I remember the stern opposition, but then I remember his sweet communion. His sweet communion. When Joseph was in the prison, he found himself in the midst of shadows where no eye could see. In fact, the scriptures tell us when it seemed like that there would be relief at last and the two men released because of the dream that he had interpreted, one man to an exalted position, the other man to his execution. Even then the scriptures say that two more years followed thereafter. But in chapter number 39, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. We can't see beyond that prison wall. We can't see into the shadows. But I'm telling you, dear friend, how sweet must have been those moments that he spent with his God. Amen. The scriptures say, Joseph, he's a fruitful bough whose branches, they overhang the wall. And I think to myself as I visualize the canvas before me, I see the pilgrim as he walks the way, passes the wall. He sees the branch that hangs the fruit before him. He can neither see the tree itself nor the well by which it is nourished. But he sees the fruit. He enjoys the taste. And though he cannot see what is on the other side of the wall because the fruit that hangs from the branch, I wonder if he does not think to himself, if the fruit is so sweet, how beautiful must the garden on the other side be? And how sweet must be the water of that well. And my friend, the world sees your public testimony. Amen. They may not see your private devotion. They walk the path on one side of the wall. They may not be able to see the well from which you drink. But might you be like that tree whose branch overhangs the wall? And might the world, being influenced by the sweetness of that fruit in your life, say, if the fruit on the branch be this sweet, how sweet must it be on the other side in that garden where he walks and he talks with his God? I remember at times traveling the roads in India and seeing those walls sometimes that had a very hideous appearance, being dirty, stained, aged by the years, sometimes crumbling. Upon its edge, it had the jagged glass. That is their version of barbed wire. Sends chills down the back even to look at it. So here is this fence. The stains, the age, the cracks, the chilling glass placed on its top. But I remember one day as we were driving along, that I saw this beautiful branch that was hanging over one of those walls, and thinking to myself as we went by, I sure would like to see the garden on the other side. Dear Christian, I pray that somebody who travels the path of life would be so influenced by my testimony that they would find themselves saying, if the fragrance from one branch be so sweet, and the fruit so alluring, how sweet must be his walk with God on that yonder side where my eyes cannot see. I think of the priest in the Old Testament, how that they would enter into the temple, they would burn the incense, the tabernacle before that, entering into the Holy of Holies, the fragrance being burnt and the odors so heavy in the air that the fragrance literally clung to their very garments. And it is said that when the priest would leave the tabernacle and walk among the people, that the congregation already knew that they had been in the presence of God, because of the fragrance that clung to the garments. My friend, you speak of such sweet moments of fellowship in the shadows where no eye can see. And I ask you then, where is the fragrance? And where is the fruit? Joseph, he's a fruitful bough by a well whose branches overhang the wall. And my friend, the traveler upon the path, he does not see the garden and he does not see the well. They are on the other side of the wall. And I guess if they don't see your branch, they don't see nothing, do they? Joseph is a fruitful bough whose branch it overhangs the wall. I remember his stern opposition and I remember his sweet communion, but then I remember his sanctified separation. Now please hear me tonight. His sanctified separation. There came the day when Potiphar's wife approaches him, allures him, entices him. Don't you think he had some pretty good idea that if she felt insulted, he could have been in a whole lot of trouble? But his answer was still the same. How can I do this sin in the sight of God? It's not happening, woman. The wall stands. And I'm not lowering it for you or anybody else. Amen. I'm going to walk with my God. Amen. You see, that which made the fruit so sweet to the taste was because of the well. And we could say much about the sweetness of that water. And if it were not for that sweet water that flows from heaven, we would all be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Amen. But my friend, it wasn't just the well. It was also because of the wall. Many a Christian in our day, they would say, well, let us stay with the well. But why have we need of a wall? You know, I can see the people approaching the farmer. After all, you need to remember that it was acceptable, it was appropriate, it was allowed, it was expected that the traveler who walked a path, if the branch overhung the wall, it is still practiced in such countries as India. It is acceptable that the traveler can pick the fruit from the branches. He's allowed. I can see the traveler and the neighbors maybe one day coming to the farmer and saying to the farmer, your trees have the sweetest fruit of any vineyard we know. But this wall, why don't you take down the wall? Don't you know that we would have easier access into your garden if you took down the wall? Don't you realize how many people could be seated in your garden if you took down the wall? Now you know where I'm going, don't you? Don't you know how many people you could accommodate if you just took down the wall? And the farmer begins to plead and reason with him and say, but you don't understand. You don't understand. The fruit is sweet because, sir, if you just take down the wall, maybe he yields. Many men in our day have. Or maybe someone down the road inherits from him. But somebody perhaps yields and the wall comes down. Not so in Joseph's life. The wall stood and the fruit stayed sweet. Perhaps they come to the farmer and say, sir, if you would just take down the wall. The wall comes down. The crowds come. And they will, by the way. I can tell you how you could have a bigger crowd this next Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what would soon happen thereafter. The wall comes down. The people, they come. They crowd the garden as they never had before. One day, someone comes to said farmer and he complains. Sir, I remember when the fruit was sweet to the taste. I remember when I used to walk this path and the limb would overhang. And I can hear the farmer saying, I tried to tell you. My father tried to tell you. We tried to explain. This fruit was sweet because there's a well, but there's also a wall. My friend, keep preaching the well, but preach also the wall. And they say to the farmer, this piece of fruit looks like a jackal bit out of it. It looks like a herd of wild swine ran down this patch of ground. By the way, my papa, he raised pigs. And my granny, she had a garden. But she didn't raise her vegetables and him raise his pigs on the same plot of ground. Amen. My papa, he had hot wire. Sometimes to keep the cattle in, sometimes to keep them out. Sometimes the grandkids got on the hot wire. That's what caused me to think when I was in India and I saw this electric fence around this piece of property to keep the elephants out. And the sign said, do not touch. When they tell you don't touch an electrical fence in India, they mean it. Because I wonder to myself, how much of a jolt does it take to keep an elephant out? Tear down the wall, they say. We've enjoyed the fruit from the branch. But if you tear down the wall, more can come into the garden. You'll have bigger crowds. You'll be more popular. Hello? Everybody will know about your garden. One day I was with my friend in India. I looked at my friend. You see, you need to understand that India is the land of the cobra. There's the Indian cobra. There's the king cobra. The king cobra has been known to get even sometimes as long as 20 feet. Can lift himself up 1/3 his body length. You do the math on that. Thankfully, they stay in the jungle. But can you imagine coming down a path in the jungle and meeting up with a snake that's standing up looking you down in the eyes? That would be a bad day. But even the smallest of cobras are poison enough to be considered a cobra. I asked my friend one day, I said, why is it that the cobras don't come on your property? And this is what he said as he pointed the circumference of the land and he said, do you see the wall? Now the point is that they don't climb the wall. But he said to me, he said, we keep everything clean inside this wall. And he said, cobras don't like to hang around a place that is clean. They killed more than 20 cobras taking that land from the serpent. I said, why don't they come back? He said, sometimes maybe one will just suddenly appear. He said, but we keep everything clean inside the wall. One day, my father-in-law, who's about to make his fourth or his fifth trip? I lost count. He's going with me again to India. I remember the first time he ever went to India with me. We were sitting there at the breakfast table. And he begins to stretch like so. And he says, it's been a wonderful day already. He said, I got up early this morning. I took my walk. I looked at him and I said, where did you walk? He said, I walked out there in the fields. I said, you can't walk out there. He said, why? I said, there are cobras out there. Now, I'm his father-in-law. You think he's going to... He's thinking I'm teasing him. He thinks I'm joshing. He looked at me and he said, But as he gave his reply, he glanced over to my friend, Dr. Cherian. Dr. Cherian said, and my father-in-law said, oh boy, no more morning walks, at least not in the fields. Take down the walls. The walls are lowered. But one day they come to him and they say, the fruit's not sweet like it used to be. Preachers who take a strong stand with the right scriptural balance, my friend, they're not trying to be mean. They're trying to keep the fruit sweet. Amen. Somebody says, I don't understand. If they would just lower the walls, more people would come. No doubt. But one day somebody would say, I don't understand. I remember when the fruit used to be so sweet over there. I remember it. Even before you started allowing the contemporary music to come in. I don't understand. Even before you put the drums on the platform, I pray it never happens here. Even before you allowed the world's influence to come in the church door, I remember it was so sweet. I don't understand. It's not as sweet as it used to be. We tried to tell you. We tried to tell you. The fruit was sweet because there was a well. And it stayed sweet because there was a wall. Amen. We started up our radio station in Dover, Delaware. We began to broadcast. It's on the internet now. One day a man in our church came to me and he said, Preacher, one of my fellow employees there at the workplace, he came to me the other day and he said, Brother, he said, been listening to the radio station. He said, I noticed on there, he said, you just play the old songs, the hymns, that conservative stuff. That's all I ever hear on your radio station. He said, at our church, he said, we've got the contemporary groups coming in. He said, we have a lot of entertainment. He said, but you know, he said, I sure miss those old hymns. Amen. He was remembering the sweetness of the fruit. Joseph is the fruitful bough whose branches hang over the wall. The fruit stayed sweet because the wall stood firm. Take away the wall. The crowds will grow. Many will come. You'll be popular. But one day, you'll look back to these days. And you'll say, I remember when the fruit was so sweet. I look at the life of Joseph and I think of his stern opposition and I tell you, the wall might stand high, but the highest heights belong to the saints. I think of the sweet communion and I pray, dear friend, let us be like that branch that overhangs the wall. And though the pilgrim on his weary journey cannot see the private life on the other side, might he partaking of the fruit, the influence of our testimony, might he think to himself, how sweet must be the garden on the other side where I cannot see. I think of his sanctified separation, and I say to you, don't let the wall fall. Amen. Let it stand. Amen. and let the fruit be sweet. Would you stand together with me, please? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder even now as the musicians are making their way to the instruments, I wonder how many of God's people need to make their way to an old-fashioned altar on bended knees. Even as some are already coming, you'd pray and you'd say, Lord, by Your grace, we want the walls to stand at the church house and at our house. We want the walls to stand, not because we're mean-spirited, not because we don't love people, not because we are not mortal in flesh as is any other man, but we want the fruit to stay sweet.